Beat and Mirror in the Bathroom for Graham, preceded by Diamond Dogs for Lorraine at 17 minutes past 8. The Full English Breakfast Show. Did you enjoy your lunch yesterday?
I certainly did. Thank you very much to Damien. No, it was lovely. I did want to take a photo when he came in, but he didn't want his photo taken. But
He didn't want his photo. He took one with me the week before.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, well, take offence. No. You didn't want this photo, but it was delicious. The prawn cocktail was amazing, just as I'd expected.
Did it come with pink sauce?
It certainly did.
Nice bit of avocado in there. No avocado.
I didn't want it with avocado. I wanted the, you know, 1980s prawn cocktail.
Sauce.
Yes.
Right.
A bit of, you know, what was it? Iceberg lettuce.
Did you have any brown bread and butter with it?
I did, because you bought a baguette with it. So, No, perfect. Thank you so much.
Damien from Riviera Crew Food. He does a mean onion bargee as well.
Ooh.
German police say they've solved a 9-year-old burglary case after DNA found on a half-eaten piece of sausage matched that of a man detained in France over an unrelated crime. Police in the western town of Schwelm said the sausage belonged to the victim and the suspect, a 30-year-old Albanian citizen, appeared to have helped himself to a bite during a break-in in March 2012. Officers said the DNA pattern did not produce a direct hit at the time, but that automatic comparisons with international databases led to a link later on. And the connection was made after French police took a DNA sample from a man involved in a violent crime that matched the burglary sample, alerting investigators. It's not clear what type of sausage it was the burglar had nibbled, though the police said it was a hard variety. But the statute of limitations on the burglary has expired, meaning the suspect is unlikely to be extradited to Germany. Police said the suspect remains free. So that's probably a good trick, you know, if you want to, you know, somebody breaks into your house, just make sure there's lots of sort of food lying around, and, you know, they have a nibble on it and then they'll be tracked down with their DNA laser. I think I've done quite well this week, haven't I, on the pop quiz?
You have. You've done very well. Ooh. Very impressed.
You all done very well. Thank you, Mr. Grace.
Okay, today's
stop
quiz.
Stop doing what? Sorry.
Oh, just taking the mic. Right, go.
I'm not taking the mic.
Don't stop.
It's just one line of my email being served.
Who sent in that email? What did it mean?
Keir said, nice one, Sarah.
What?
Nice
what
one, son. Nice one, Sarah. Okay. Let's have another. I think it was something to do with your reference to my
nuts.
Okay,
all right, yes, moving on swiftly. Question number one. Born on this day in 1979, this male guitar and vocals from an English rock band celebrates his birthday today. They had a 2004 UK number one album and he released two further albums with the Baby Shambles. Who am I talking about?
Pete Doherty.
Certainly is.
Your favourite.
Yes. I hope Adam plays some of him this evening. Question number two, the following lyric...
Put a request in.
The following lyric, opening lyric rather, is from which song? With Shine in the title, it's been covered by several artists, notably by Ray Charles in 1959. And the first line is, I'm going to love you like nobody's loved you.
Is it the Supremes?
No, the Ray Charles sang it in 1959. It's been covered by several artists. And it has Shine in the title, and the first line of the song is, I'm gonna love you.
Yeah, I got that, but...
Like nobody's love you. I'm just trying to help.
I know. You're doing a very good job. I don't know, I can't think of it.
Come rain or come shine. And finally, Shine a Little Love is a song by which group released as a single in the US and the UK in 1979?
I can hear it in my head.
You've got to get this. You should know this. Shocking if you don't.
I know, it's shocking. And shine a little... That one.
Yeah, I've heard you play it, but I couldn't find it, so I did, but you probably haven't got time to play it. Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, please.
ELO.
Oh, of course.
Of course, of course. Oh. How stupid of me.
I know, I was having a brain fade today.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Fine, thank you, for a Friday, which is, of course, the best day of the week.
You said it.
Surely did.
OK, it was your turn. Now, what's all this stuff you want to know about our weekend lockdowns? When you leave Potts Towers, do you have to sort of show where you're going and all the rest of it?
Not show where you're going, I don't think. I mean, we're still in, obviously, lockdown. I mean, you complain about your little weekend lockdowns. It sounds like a retreat, quite frankly, compared to what we've had. We've been in lockdown, I think, since December now. I think that's where we are. And, of course, we had a roadmap to take us away from this misery, but we're still some way off.
But if you, I mean, if you get stopped by the Rozzers, you know, do they ask you who you are and where you're going and the rest of it?
It hasn't happened to me. I obviously haven't been breaking the rules, so I wouldn't have any reason to do so. But I don't think you, like, have to carry some time-stamped piece of paper around saying I left my house at 9:41 and will be back home after my hour's exercise. I don't know how controlled that is, or if that is the reality in France where you are.
You're such a goody two-shoes, aren't you? Butter wouldn't melt in your mouth.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, and you asked me what happens if you take... Because, I mean, you can either have these forms here, you can either have them on your phone and it's already filled in for you, which is a bit scary. Otherwise, you have to print one off the internet and take it with you. But you asked me what happens if you take more than one form with you. Sarah, do you know that? What would happen if you took more than one form out with you with a different time on it?
Well, yeah, you can. I mean, on the paper one, you can cheat. Of course, you're supposed to download it on your phone so they can scan
the QR code,
and then they know whether you've used it within the 24
hours. And how many people have been fined for not doing that correctly? Lots and lots.
Yeah.
Especially when that sun comes out and the rosé is flowing.
Well, you said that. You know, we've got more important things to think about here.
Absolutely.
Okay, markets. Good day yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, US stocks jumped to an intraday all-time high as Treasury yields stabilised around 1.5%. Tech sector rallied, investors pricing in the impact of that $1.9 trillion stimulus package. Positive 30-year Treasury auction in the United States, along with improving jobless claims there. S&P 500 reclaimed a record in a broad rally, closed up 1%. NASDAQ surged 2.4% yesterday. That's, remember, after falling into correction territory earlier in the month. Joe Biden did indeed sign into law the second largest stimulus package in US history yesterday. It's the sixth COVID-19 relief bill, certainly a major legislative win for the president. This morning we've had the impact of the third lockdown in the UK shining through in terms of GDP numbers. UK economy shrank by 2.9% in January. Actually much better than many economists had predicted. Market was looking for a figure closer to a contraction of 4.9%. If you look through some of the data, those things like industrial production certainly been taking a big hit. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 13 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 16 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 3 points.
Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose.
Excuse me?
I'm referring to the European Central Bank.
Nice. As expected, the European Central Bank kept interest rates and its policy instruments steady, but did react to the rise that we've been seeing in bond yields. Christine Lagarde warning that the increase in sovereign yields could eventually translate into a tightening of financial conditions, which the Governing Council would deem undesirable given the still uncertain and depressed economic situation and the weak medium-term inflation outlook. In response, the Governing Council expects purchases under the Pandemic Emergency Purchase Programme over the next quarter to be conducted at a significantly higher pace than in the first months of the year. So front-loading purchases while keeping the size of the overall package unchanged at 1.85 trillion euros. In terms of growth forecast, to growth broadly maintained their previous projections. For 2021, it's actually up 0.1% to 4%, saying the stronger second half of the year would offset a weaker than expected start to the year. Near-term downside risk, medium-term, they said, has become more balanced. They've got 4.1% growth projected for 2022, 2.1% for 2023. And as expected, the inflation forecast was revised significantly higher for this year, from 1% to 1.5%, but stressed inflationary pressures for 2022 and 2023 remained very subdued, 1.2% and 1.4% respectively, which of course still well below that 2% target level.
And with all those Shanghai derivatives floating around in your hard disk, it's no wonder that the Chinese National People's Congress has been keeping an eye on you.
That has been taking place during the course of this week. It's where the Communist Party leadership unveils its key policy decisions and targets. Key economic measures were laid out in the government work report. China has set a target growth rate of more than 6% for this year. Authorities said they would also provide targeted support for SME financing, mortgage loans for first-time buyers, funds for the tech and green sectors. In terms of inflation, NPC set a target 3% for 2021 for monetary policy, so they'd adopt a more prudent monetary policy with appropriate flexibility, with greater priority serving the real economy and preventing risk. In terms of the forecast, actually look a little bit conservative, it has to be said. I think we've got growth for China at 8.4% this year, given the low base and still strong growth momentum that we've been seeing there. We expect the People's Bank of China to keep policy rates unchanged in the first half, but guide credit growth lower. Faster urbanisation should also underpin the housing demand. They're talking about urbanisation ratio, so that's people moving, or the amount of people live in cities and towns compared to villages, to 65% over the next 5 years. Remember, that's up from 50% just back in 2010. So significant change in the dynamics of the economy playing out there.
Yeah, I sort of half read a story this morning, news coming out of Singapore, that they're very worried about the future of Sino-US relations. Did you see that?
No, but it is an area of concern, and there is some risks around that. So if you're looking at headwinds for China, uncertainty around the US-China relationship is certainly one of those. There's limited expectations around the removal of tariffs. I think you do have a meeting over the course of the weekend taking place between the Biden administration and top Chinese officials. Perhaps we'll get greater clarity around that. Other risks that you can point to, the recovery in domestic consumption has been certainly lagging behind manufacturing, but if you look at retail sales, they've also lagged behind both developed market and emerging market peers. China's vaccination program has been lagging behind other major economies. If you look at the infrastructure investment program, it's probably lower than market analysts have been anticipating. And there are concerns, of course, around financial imbalances, which may require more aggressive policy response. But as you look beyond that, China, of course, recently outlaid and confirmed during the course of the National People's Congress the latest five-year plan between 2021 and 2025, showing China's commitment to focus on the quality and sustainability of growth rather than headline speed, to modernize supply chains and upgrade its industry to focus on high-end manufacturing. The government probably sees growth around about 5 to 6% per annum over the course of the plan.
Gosh, you have been doing your homework, haven't you?
Do work hard on these things.
Have a gold star. That's the top of the class. You can leave early today.
I wish I could.
Yeah, world domination, though, isn't it? China's trying to take the world over.
Well, set to become, of course, the world's largest economy, how they decide to use that influence will remain to be seen.
They'll never take me alive.
No.
Martin says, what's all this about the Rozzers? I haven't heard that for years. You're getting as bad as the vicar I listen to every Sunday, who's always saying £4 or £5.
Okay. Well, I don't know where the Rozzers actually come from, but it's for the police, isn't it? It's to signify the police. Do you know the origin of the word, though?
I don't. No, I'm afraid. No. I'm sure Martin will be able to tell us, but that's one of the more polite terms for them, isn't it?
I was going to say, do you know any other terms?
Yeah, not that I can repeat on the air, I'm afraid.
The men in blue?
They're doing a fantastic job.
Men and women in blue, should I say, these days.
And non-gender-defined people.
Correct.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 139.5. The euro's actually been strengthening on the back of what we saw from the European Central Bank. Euro dollar coming in at 119.5. Going to get 1 euro 16.5 cents for your British pound this morning.
Think I better leave it there.
It's been fun.
You're Nick
Sonny. Another week done. You're off, aren't you?
Hey?
Rosé's in the fridge, garden ready.
Right. Goodbye. Talk to you on Monday.
Eight different forms with timestamps.
I've got to go, you know. I've got to do the newspapers. Talk to you on Monday. Good. Bye. Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysa has the top stories across the Riviera.
France has again passed the threshold of 4,000 patients in intensive care, a first since the end of 2020. The number of intensive care patients passed below the 2,600 threshold at the beginning of January and was only yesterday reported to be stabilising. According to the latest data from Public Health France, there have been 266 additional deaths in the last 24 hours. That's compared to 299 the day before. And the total number of deaths in France from COVID stands at 89,856. And the vaccination rate in France currently stands at 6.8% of the population. Three regions of France continue to cause concern, the Hauts-de-France, Île-de-France and the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur. Following Thursday's press conference, the Minister of Health said that the pressure is now reaching similar levels to the peak of the second wave. In the Île-de-France, the minister said a resident is being admitted to intensive care every 12 minutes and that dozens or even hundreds of medical transfers out of the region will be taking place in the coming days. However, he said that the local restrictions put in place in some areas of France recently are bearing fruit, especially in the Alpes-Maritimes. The minister did not mention any possible new lockdowns. The Alpes-Maritimes will be under lockdown again this weekend, and the prefect is expected to give a press conference at 11 a.m. this morning concerning the organisation of the Paris-Nice cycling race, which was due to hold the final stages in the city this weekend. Prefect Bernard Gonzalez has given details for the reasons which led to the authorities opting for a third partial lockdown in the region, saying that the spread of COVID in the Alpes-Maritimes remains worrying, with an incidence rate at 481 per 100,000 inhabitants. That's compared to 217 for the national average, as well as a positivity rate which stands at 10.2% compared to 7.3% for the national average. He went on to say that the pandemic is weighing heavily on the hospital capacity of the region and that there is an intensive care bed occupancy rate of 132.2%. He added that 15 COVID patients have already been transferred to other regions of France since January the 25th, with five additional transfers of patients this week. The lockdown means that circulating outside of your home is prohibited between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Note that this is in addition to the 6 p.m. 6 a.m. curfew. Except for compelling reasons, which are detailed on the attestation form, a practicing of physical activity remains limited to 1 hour within a radius of 5 kilometres. This is despite the mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, suggesting to the prefect on Thursday that it be extended to 3 hours. Meanwhile, the Monaco government has said that it recommends not going to the Alpes-Maritimes during this weekend's lockdown, except for compelling reasons. A PCR test is required for Monaco residents who visit the Alpes-Maritimes or the VAR departments for a period of more than 24 hours. For all trips beyond the Alpes-Maritimes and the VAR, a PCR test of less than 72 hours is required. The French government has announced that from today, travellers will no longer need a compelling reason to visit the UK, Australia, New Zealand or several other countries. There will also be no need to demonstrate a compelling reason to enter France from the countries concerned. The French government said that the specific health situation in the foreign destinations had been taken into account in reaching the decision, as well as the British variant, which is now being widespread in France. And the other countries for which a compelling reason will not be required are South Korea, Israel, Japan and Singapore. The list of compelling or personal reasons for visiting other countries outside of the European area has also been extended as of today. A French hospital in the southwest region of France has been paralysed following a cyber attack. Hackers have crippled the entire hospital, demanding a ransom of $50,000 in Bitcoin to unlock the systems. It's the third cyber attack on a hospital in France in less than a month. The attack illustrates how healthcare establishments have become a high-profile target of cyber criminals, especially given the coronavirus pandemic. And in other news, a 16-year-old teenager has been stabbed in Nice, suffering serious injuries. The incident happened at around 7 p.m. on Thursday evening on Rue Barla in the Port District of the city. The victim was taken to hospital in a state of absolute emergency. An investigation has been opened to determine the circumstances of the attack. And with a third weekend of lockdown announced for the Alpes-Maritimes, the mayor of Antibes has announced that the coast road between the Fort Carré in Antibes and the Siesta at the limit of the town of Villeneuve-Loubet will again be closed to vehicles and reserved for pedestrians only. This will be in place on Sunday the 14th of March from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. with the possibility of accessing the beaches. Meanwhile, the Department of the Alpes-Maritimes is taking applications for food trucks to be stationed on the RD6098 Coast Road in Antibes. There are 7 potential places for the years 2021 to 2023 with a minimum period of 4 months of occupation between April the 1st and October the 31st. An individual has donated €40,000 to the French state to reduce the public deficit. Published in the official journal on Thursday, the 11th of March, in the section dedicated to the Ministry of Economy, Finance and Recovery, it read that the amount of €40,000 has been paid by cheque, dated January the 15th, 2021, in order to reduce the public deficit of the state by Monsieur Michel Fache. Who is Monsieur Michel Fache? It's impossible to say due to tax secrecy. And finally, congratulations to cyclist Sam Bennett, who has claimed an authoritative victory on stage 5 of the Paris-Nice on Thursday. Already a winner on the opening day, the Irishman continued his fine start to 2021. Today, stage 6 will take place from Brignoles to Biot.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Don't go to Biot today then. Football was a pretty good night for the British clubs playing in the Europa League last night. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester United were held to a 1-1 draw by Italian giants Milan at Old Trafford in the Europa League round of 16. The BBC's football correspondent John Murray has more.
The balance of the tie changed in a flash as Simon Kjær headed the late equaliser for Milan from a corner after the visitors had dominated the closing stages. And with that, United were denied taking a lead into the second leg, which had been given to them by 18-year-old Amad Diallo. Within 5 minutes of coming on as a half-time substitute, recent signing Diallo produced a glorious twisting, glancing header from a Fernandez pass to score the 18-year-old's first goal for the club. Earlier, Kessier had a goal ruled out for a handball for Milan. Maguire was remarkably denied by a post for United, but it is very nicely set up for next Thursday.
Former Celtic manager Neil Lennon co-commentated on the game for the BBC.
From a manager's point of view, it'll be very frustrating for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tonight because, you know, a clean sheet, 1-0, you know, win to take over to Italy would have been perfect. He's used the squad with the amount of games they've got coming up. But in the throes of the game, Milan were the better team.
Harry Kane got the goals as Tottenham beat Dinamo Zagreb 2-0 at home, while Arsenal beat the Greek champions Olympiakos 3-1 in Piraeus. Newcastle United host Aston Villa in the first of the weekend's Premier League matches on Friday night at St James's Park. Newcastle sit just a point above the relegation zone and their boss Steve Bruce says all the sides involved in the bottom end of the table are nervous heading into the final stages of the season.
We're all nervously looking over our shoulder and think we've all got to get to a magical figure, wherever it is that figure might be. I'll let others speculate on it, but the quicker you get there, the better, of course. Certainly Fulham have had a decent run of late and closed the gap, but still a long, long, long way to go.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
So, in the English Premier League this weekend, Stuart had a go at deputising for you when you were away and made a horrible hash of it.
Did he?
He said he's resigned. Tonight, as they were saying, Newcastle against Aston Villa.
Well, the Magpies aim to put an end to their four-match winless run, won't they?
But they won't.
But they won't.
Aston Villa for me.
Aston Villa win, yes.
Saturday, Leeds against Chelsea.
Oh, come on, it's got to be Chelsea.
I don't know. Leeds are good, but yeah, go on. Thomas Tuchel's revolution continues. Crystal Palace against West Brom.
I'll go for Crystal Palace.
I think that might be a draw. Everton against Burnley.
Well, sorry, Stuart, but I think it's going to be Everton. They'll be looking to bounce back from there. Mm. They lost against Chelsea, didn't they?
They did, yeah. 2-0. And Fulham against Manchester City, etc., etc.
Oh, come on, Man City.
On Sunday, Southampton play Brighton.
I think it's going to be a draw.
I think Southampton might win that. Leicester against Sheffield United.
Leicester.
Yeah. Arsenal against Spurs.
Not going to be easy. I'm going for a draw.
Yeah, I think that might be a draw, actually. And Manchester United against West Ham.
I'm going for a draw there, too.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to go in. Cheeky West Ham win there. Wolves against Liverpool on Monday night.
Don't. Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyone's guess.
Come on, you've got to put your money where your mouth is.
Well, OK, I'll say 2-0 for Liverpool.
2-0? That's...
Yeah, cool. There you go.
That's
how
very
much you're putting on it.
I'm
going to write this down so I remember what I've said.
You just don't know which Wolves is going to turn up. I'm going to go for Wolves, I'm sorry, but just
all right,
might do
thanks.
It.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, just trying to be honest. Rugby Union, the penultimate round of the Six Nations Championships being played this weekend. Italy play Wales on Saturday at 3:15 and England play France at 5:45. Both Wales and France can still do the Grand Slam as long as they win tomorrow, as Scotland play Ireland on Sunday. Don't know if I dare watch England against France.
Well, why not? Best bit.
There's one game in the Gallagher Premiership tonight. Bristol play Wasps, while in the Guinness Pro 14, Zebre play Leinster. Glasgow Warriors host Ospreys and Munster play Scarlets. Formula One pre-season testing starts in Bahrain today as the team starts to fine-tune cars for the coming campaign. This year there's only one three-day session, with Bahrain taking over testing from Barcelona. The opening Grand Prix of the season will be in Bahrain on the 28th of March. Tennis. Roger Federer is out of the Qatar Open. The 29-year-old lost his second match following his return to the sport after a 14-month layoff. He lost in three sets in the quarterfinals to Nicholas Basilashvili of Georgia. Bashing something. And in golf, Sergio Garcia leads following the first round of the Players' Championship at Sawgrass, Florida. The Spaniard eagled the final hole to reach 7 under par and lead by two shots from Brian Harman of the United States. Rory McIlroy had a nightmare first round as he slumped to a 7 over par 79, which included a quadruple bogey 8, after he found the water twice at the 18th. God. Sounds a bit like me.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
The coastal area is up to 20 miles offshore the Almirante in the Vaal. The general situation is a depression 1,012 millibars over the Gulf of Genoa, combined with a strong southwesterly flux across the Mediterranean. Winds are southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 6 to 7 southwesterly winds, moderate to rough seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are west-southwesterly, force 6 to gale, force 8. The sea is rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, clear skies, force 6 to 7 southwesterly winds, moderate to rough seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. Give your yacht a new lease of life with an upgrade, repair or refit from our expert team. RefitMyYacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies today, moderate to strong westerly winds, temperatures 19 degrees this afternoon, overnight lows 9 to 11 degrees with clear skies and remaining windy in the Vaal. The weekends mainly fine but still pretty windy from the northwest across the region, highs of 16 to 18 degrees. Finally.
There are two things wrong with this story. Have you ever been sent a cake in the post?
Yes.
Okay, by who?
Years ago here, somebody sent a cake.
Okay, and have you ever eaten half of something you shouldn't and not told the other person?
Probably.
Well, a student has been left baffled after a Black Forest cake sent by her mother by Royal Mail arrived half-eaten. She revealed her shock after a cake sent to her as a surprise from her mother was half-eaten on arrival. Tamara Johnson's mother sent her a homemade, Black Forest chocolate cake to her home in London, where she's living while studying at university. But the surprise gift came in a damaged bag with half the cake missing, causing Tamara to search for the theft and addressing a letter to Royal Mail.
I wonder how can you send a cake through the post without it getting damaged? It's a rapid, very, very delicate.
Damaged and half eaten.
Oh, you've eaten my breakfast before, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Didn't you help yourself to some?
I did to your nuts. Sorry, that came out wrong a second time.
Would you like a second helping?
I just don't learn, do I? I can't believe I just said that. I'm just going to go and crawl.
It's all on tape as well. It'll be on the bloopers tape at the end of the year.
Stop it.
You're up to date. The news is on the website.
I didn't put milk on them, though. You put milk on your cereal, on your bag of mixed...
Fruit and nuts. Yes.
Yeah. You put milk on them, don't you?
I have a handful of All Bran. A handful of oats, a sprinkling of dried fruit and nuts, and milk. I've been told I should cut out the milk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, ping!
It's because I mentioned yours.
I bet that's Jeff. Don't mention my nuts again.